Hey, what's up, everybody? I'm your host, Ryan Sketch, here at Sketchbook Audio. Some cool things to talk about and some not so cool things to talk about, but we're going to go across a whole bunch of different things. We're going to talk movies, we're going to talk video games, and we're going to talk cars, of course. Why not? Because that's what we do. One car in particular, and I'm really excited to talk about it because it's so wild and the rumors are like up and down all over the place. But you're only going to find out if you stay tuned. So stay tuned for more Sketchbook Audio right here. All right, folks, welcome back. I'm your host, Ryan Sketch, here at Sketchbook Audio. Thank you for tuning in. Listen, it's been crazy the past few, well, months, actually. And I don't remember even when the last time I did a podcast was. But if you're looking around my room right now, my office, there's a lot of stuff in boxes, and if you were to go further into my house, you would see more boxes. And unfortunately, due to a lot of bull crap in my life, I'm having to sell my house. It sold last week on Monday, and not thrilled about it whatsoever, but you know, it is what it is. Life sometimes throws you lemons, and I'm just trying to make lemonade out of it. Even if that lemonade is like really crap lemonade, it's got to be something positive. So, you know, just some things that are going to change. I'm going to try and change the way I do these podcasts. Probably going to be on the road for a bit while I look for a job and try to get my health better. I still have a lot of appointments to make. What? It's telling me that I'm running low on storage. That's crazy. So anyways, I'll try to keep this quick. Yeah, just a lot of things going on. I'm moving, gonna be homeless actually for a couple weeks. Who knows how long? I don't know. But, I got you guys, I got my friends, and, we're gonna ride the waves and, just make the most of it. Anyways, we have some cool things I want to talk about today. So let me, without further ado, I'm gonna bust them open and, we'll get down to the nitty gritty. So, did it again. There we go. Okay, we'll leave it at that. So the first thing I want to talk about is this guy, and actually not specifically the Ram 1500, but more so this tease that we're not going to get. So what we do know is Ram is working on a new 1500 or a refresh. They're also working on that Ram Rev, which is the electric version. Then, you know, they have a range extended model that'll probably come out, and then, you know, that'll work kind of like a Volt, Chevy Volt. And then, you know, there's the next generation Ram, and there's talks about a midsize Ram, something or another, like a Ram 1000 or something coming out. We don't know, but here's one thing that's not happening, and this really got to me. I want to just see if I can pull it up. Ram, and it's funny that it's called this. So... Over the past few weeks, there have been these little teasers, and we see a hood here, we see the tailgate, borrowing a lot. Actually, here's them all right here. We have the headlights, which are very similar to the current Ram 1500 headlights, and we see this Ram where it says turbo here. We have a very familiar hood, very similar to the Ram 1500. But what it is the Ram Rampage. And it's not going to be here for the United States. It's crazy, but it's the size of the Ford Maverick. And let's just watch the video real quick because it's really cool. We're just not going to get it. You guys will probably hear this. I'm going to lower the volume a little bit, but you know, it's very much Ram. If you don't know anything about the Ram Rampage, the previous one, the Rampage came out in like the 80s, and it was basically Dodge's version. It wasn't a Ram brand anymore. It was Dodge Rampage. And it was kind of like Dodge's version of the El Camino. It was their answer to the Utes that you see in South Africa and in Australia. But what it's going to be now is basically a very Ram truck, just compact. And more than likely, my guess would be that it's based off of the Fiat platform, which has the Toro, the Fiat Toro, or something similar to that. Maybe the Jeep Compass, which also shares a lot with the Toro. But either way, it's going to be a great truck, and that's what sucks because it's not going to come here. Maybe it will eventually, but for right now, you know, what they're saying is it's for Brazil. And Brazil is just exploding for the automotive industry. And a lot of car companies are trying to make cars very specific to that market. And this is a great truck for that market. So for all my people who are listening from Brazil, whether you listen or you speak Portuguese or Spanish or any other language that's common in Brazil, hopefully you'll see this and you'll understand. You guys are getting this, and I am very jealous of that fact. They have shown a few more teasers, but one of those teasers was the grill. Let me see if I can find it. So the grill is like a little bit of a play on the Ram Rebel that we have here in the States. But, and, you know, here's like a good idea of what it could look like. This is a Fiat Toro, and they've changed the taillights to be the current Ram's taillights. And, you know, it's not going to look exactly like this. This... you know, again, this is a artist rendition of that, a chop shop, if you will. But they showed the grill somewhere, and I just don't see it. Here's a spy shot of what that grill is going to look like. And it's weird because it kind of reminds me of the Ford Ranger, where you have this big lifted back end, or even the Colorado and the Canyon. And this is smaller than that. This is the size of, like I said, the Ford Maverick. But it still has a lot of similar styling to the Ram 1500. I'm just bummed out that we're not going to get this truck. And there's a lot of cool ideas floating around there of what this thing could look like. I'm excited for all of them. I can't wait to see this thing just revealed in general. And it should be soon because we're already getting teasers. And typically, automotive companies don't start teasing stuff unless they have a full plan to actually bring this thing out. But, you know, here's what it looked like back then. It was a car with, and I think it was like the Omni or something, that they just threw on a truck bed. They extended the chassis, threw on a truck bed. It was a single cab, and it was a cool truck. But, you know, as you got bigger, you went to the Ram 50, the Dodge Ram 50, or the Dakota, things like that, and then you just got up into the Ram, like, 1500. Here's what the Ram 700 compact looks like, which they sell this in other markets, like I think Argentina, Mexico, and some other places, but this is what's currently out. It's a Fiat Toro that's been rebadged and reworked a bit to look more like a Ram. And, you know, here's some more of it right there. I love this truck. I think this is great. The fact that we don't have this here in the States is also a bummer, but really looking forward to this Rampage. Maybe we'll get it eventually. Who knows? But until then, we can only dream. All right, on to the next one. This one I love, and I love it even more. And I actually contacted the designers who did this in Europe and told them how badly I want this here in the States, because being that I'm probably going to be homeless for a little bit, this is what I want. This is everything that I need. It's a nice little van. It looks like it's a little bit capable and rugged. It might be a plug-in hybrid or electric. It says E, so I'm assuming it's electric. And it just looks big enough for me, like all that I need. You know, you fold these seats flat or you do whatever you need to do, and it's just practical. There's a bin here in the back to put your boots. I'm going to be hiking. I'm going to be doing a lot of stuff. And, you know, that's kind of a game changer for me. I need a compact little truck, and that would be, or a cargo van, and that would be fantastic for me. Okay, so definitely check that out because I love the look of this thing. I love the white roof. It's kind of got that Bronco sport look to it on top of a minivan like the Ford Transit, which I believe the Transit's gone now. But now we have this, and like I said, a very handsome vehicle. It's this new language for Ford, and I like it. It's very European, and it almost kind of reminds me of Volvo or Zeekr. And I think they're getting a lot of stuff from their Asian market plus European and putting it all together, and you get this really cool-looking minivan. And it's not just a minivan anymore. Like, yeah, you got the sliding doors, but it's lifted up a little bit. It's got a lot of plastic cladding, so this thing could probably do some stuff. And it's really small. This is an MPV, basically. This is not like the size of a Pacifica or a Honda Odyssey or a Toyota Sienna. This is just the right size especially for somebody like me, and is probably not going to cost an arm and a leg to own or to even buy. Okay, on to the next one. I'm just going to show this because I like it. I think this is like my dream car. You know, it's just a sexy sedan. I think it's funny, though, that they call it the AMG GT four-door, because there is the AMG GT, and it's just a two-door coupe. And, you know, they threw on two more doors, did that whole grand touring thing that BMW and Audi have been doing. But they did it a little bit better, and I love how sleek this thing is. It's super aerodynamic. The exhaust is encapsulated in the bumper. And then the interior is just gorgeous. This is just spot on. If I had the money, this is where I would probably go. I love it. It's perfect. It's everything that you need it to be. It's like a grand tour plus the extra two doors, and there's tons of room in it. This is definitely something that would make a statement. If you were trying to pick between like a BMW 7 Series or an Audi A7, this would be the way to go for me. And it's quite potent. I don't like talking about potency on this blog, but just the overall styling. I like Mercedes's new design language. This is borrowed heavily from the A-Class. They started there and then they worked their way up, and I think it works really well on the GT. It's, you know, these looked kind of funky on some of their other sedans, but the way that everything just kind of like goes into the center, it's very aggressive, but it's also very sensuous and well sculpted. I mean, this line right here goes all the way up the hood. Usually these things stop, just like these blisters right here. They usually stop here, and there's nothing done over this plastic piece here, and I love that. I love these blades in here, how they're mixed with the black plastic going up and over, and these go down and under. And you have some nice accents here in the back. Like I said, you've got the dual exhaust that's encapsulated, well, quad exhaust. You have really nice slim taillights, which Mercedes has come a long way with their taillights, and I think this is the right way to go. I like that they didn't go the whole way across like their EQ models, but you know, at the same time, I don't think you can go wrong either way. It was just well designed. And I like this little aero kit on the side. It's simple, it's not loud, but there's enough dynamism, I forget how to say that word, whatever. It's very dynamic, but it's also very modern and subdued to the point where, like, you know, this is still a luxury sedan, but there's a lot of extra little details that make you think, oh yeah, okay, this is high performance luxury, and it looks great. It looks a little bit angry, but at the same time, it's not like super, super angry, kind of like the two-door. You know, I just like it, it looks great. Okay, on to the next thing. Okay, here's the thing that I said was up and down, and you know, rumors all over the place. This just breaks my heart. 2 days prior to this article, they said they were going to make this car. Then this article came out and said it's not going to happen. And then like the next day, the guy who's the head of the engineering or the head of Honda, whatever, he said, it has to happen. We're going to make it happen. It's going to work. And they're going to do it. And it needs to happen. Look at this thing. It's gorgeous. Here's the original pony car. And then they just, you know, DeLorean the hell out of it and made it this badass electrified N model. And it's just like the Halo car for N. It doesn't need to look brand new. It's got enough little details in it to say, okay, it's evolved technologically, but it's also just in a package that is very throwback to the original. I love this. The original pony car never came out. It was a concept study. It was a design study of what Hyundai could do. And in fact, it probably is what turned into the Hyundai Elantra GT. Just it got smaller. You know, you had a hatchback. It was sporty-esque for its size and what the car was, but this just takes it to a whole new level, the nth level, and I love it. And I think it's hydrogen and electric, you know, whatever it is, but it's wild. And I mean, look, it says there is no plan to mass produce the Pony Coupe, and there's no Pony Day event planned, but you know, it changes every single day. Yeah, it's going to happen. No, it's not going to happen. I guess it depends on the source you're getting the information from, but so far these have all been very credible, very high up sources. And what do you guys think? Would you like to see this? Personally, I think this is what a lot of automakers need to do. Go back and look at some of your classics, like the DeLorean, for instance. the DeLorean doesn't need to look as futuristic as it does in their recent model that they're going to actually sell. It showed up in Fast and the Furious X. Yeah, spoiler alert. But I think you're supposed to say spoiler alert prior to it, but whatever, who cares? Sue me. There's, you could sue me and I wouldn't have any money to give you anyways, which I think is kind of funny, but, you know, take a classic and then just make it look like this. They could have taken the DeLorean and used some of the features from the, Time Machine DeLorean and turned it into something that looks like this and made it more of like a race car. And it would have been great. People would have bought it, but they went to the extreme and they only borrowed tiny little details about it. And, you know, it is what it is, but I personally love this. I would love to see this go into production. I think Hyundai has something here that maybe Ford and Chevy and Chrysler could actually buy into and really reconsider what they're thinking for their EV future. There's a lot of people who are just not going to adopt and adapt to the EV thing that's coming. You know, it's going to be forced on us one way or another, but I think those people are going to want to at least, if you're going to make me drive an EV, I better be able to drive like my 1971 Mach 1 or a Dodge Charger RT the way it looked like back then. Just throw new tech on the inside and just leave it the way it is. Maybe shrink it a little bit. I don't know. It doesn't need to have a lot done to it to make it cool, to make it look familiar, and to make it badass. And some of those cars were extremely aerodynamic, not very light, but quite aerodynamic for their time. And even now, the original Daytona is pretty aerodynamic, you know, by any generation standard. So would love to see that. Okay, the next thing, it's not this. We're gonna go to Autoblog real quick, and then I'm gonna jump ship to movies, because what I wanted to talk about with movies is the writer strike, the SAG strike, and all that that's happening, that's just kind of hurting the entertainment industry. But, you know, as if the world wasn't bad enough right now. Okay, here's what I wanted to talk about. Not specifically this car, but the Hot Wheels Legends Tour is coming, and it's going to be showing up here, I think, in June or July. I'm going. My car is not going to make it into being one of these Hot Wheels cars, but this guy actually got it, and it's really cool. I've gone to this three or four years now in a row, and you know, these people work really hard to make these vehicles what they are, and I mean, this is just insane. This looks like a Transformer. It's got Fox shocks. That's wild. But it's based off of a Colorado, and he just ripped everything out, put these massive shocks that you would get on like one of those dune buggies or a pre-runner, or something you would see in Moab. But it's so cool, and I cannot wait to see some of the new cars that people have been working on for this year's Hot Wheels Legends Tour. So that'll be in Detroit, actually in Dearborn, Michigan at Walmart. So if you're in the area and you want to check it out, definitely do. Just go to hotwheels.com and you can look for the Hot Wheels Legends Tour link that they have there. Okay, the next thing, I think that's really all of it. So that's all I wanted to talk about is in regards to that. Then going back to what I was talking about, we're just going to go to live chat. If you didn't know, there's a big writer strike going on, and this isn't the first time. The entertainment industry did this back in 2007, 2008, and for the most part, let me just say this right now, because I have some people that are listening who are in the entertainment industry, film, television, what have you, it's warranted to an extent. Everybody deserves to be treated fairly. Everybody deserves to have equal rights, equal benefits, all of that. I get it. Some more money where the money is due. Like if you're working 80 hours and you're not getting paid accordingly, I think you deserve to be paid that. You know, there's a lot of people who do work and they only get paid for 40 hours, but they're putting in 60, 80 hours, you know, and that's not fair if they're not getting paid for it. If they're not getting the time off, if they're not getting the medical leave, if they're not getting maternity or paternity leave, if they're not getting equal wage rights between men, women, you know, the LGBTQ community, all of that needs to be addressed and taken care of. There's just a point where unions take it too far and they start asking for more money. They don't do work. The industry collapses. you know, while they're just sitting outside holding up signs. And like I said, to an extent, I get it. I'm in the film industry. I've worked on movies for over 20 years now. I get it. But there's got to come to a point where you say, is it really worth doing this much just to get that much more money? Meanwhile, other people are suffering. Like, if movies aren't being made, you have no photographers. You have no jobs for actors. You have no jobs for background actors. You have no jobs for wranglers, for gaffers, for any lighters, anything. All of these people are just sitting and, for the most part, not working, not getting paid, and then other people aren't able to work. I was supposed to work on two movies this week, actually, and they got canceled. They're pushed back until October. In fact, one of them, being Blade, I was supposed to film in Cleveland, and I was going to go work on that, but I can't. And that was really good money I was banking on, and that's probably going to keep going for a while, because you have your writers, actors, your Writers Guild, you have your Directors Guild, and you have your Actors Guild, SAG, Screen Actors Guild, and each one of them is on strike right now, or they're, you know, one will go after the next until each one of them negotiated proper terms. And it's like with the auto industry, but the auto industry is a little bit different. In the auto industry, there's a lot of people who aren't in a union. To be on a big film, everybody's in the union, in one union or another, whether it's Teamsters or SAG or Writers Guild, East and West, whatever. I can't remember what it is, but, you know, they have everybody in a guild and in a union. So if they're all on strike, nothing's getting made. Now, interestingly enough, Deadpool 3 is currently in production. They are filming it, but one of the drawbacks is Ryan Reynolds isn't allowed to go off script and ad lib or make up stuff. He has to go by the, he's contractually obligated to stick to the script to a T, unless they settle this and then he's allowed free reign. And that's what we hope for, because if you watch any of the first two Deadpools and you look at the behind the scenes, those movies heavily relied on him just going off script and, you know, saying whatever came to his mind. And I think that's what really worked for those movies, because that's just how crazy Deadpool is. He just says whatever he wants, and you know, it might not be the first take. Ryan might say something different, entirely different. His delivery might be entirely different. You know, so I'm a little frustrated, because I want to work. I need the work, and a lot of people need the work. But if, you know, if everybody's on strike and you can't work, it sucks. Like what I was trying to say earlier was the automotive union or automotive industry, not everybody is in a union. So there's a lot of people still working. Meanwhile, there's a core set of people that are in the union and they're not working. But even worse, this is what blows my mind. They're getting paid to be on strike. That's just, ugh. And their wages keep getting higher and higher. For the most part, in the automotive industry, in the manufacturing, you're talking about people, countless people who have maybe like a high school diploma, a GED, maybe a little bit of college, or are trying to put themselves through college. They don't have masters. They don't even have bachelor's in many cases. You know, so it's like a weird, and they're getting paid way more than somebody, you know, just flipping burgers or waiting tables or in the background of a movie. And, you know, I could go on and on, and I don't mean to put them down. It's just, unions, in theory, are great. They protect the workers from evil corporations. All for that. But sometimes I think they get taken too far, and sometimes I think they forget that there are other people who would like to work and who are continuing to work, and they don't get those benefits. Or they didn't even want them, you know? So that's just my two cents. I'm glad, thankfully, Spider-Man Across the Spider-Verse got made before this strike happened, because I think we would have a totally different movie. But we're going to see the effects of this strike, these strikes, plural, happen across the mediums, whether it's streaming television. And that is one thing, okay? They're working on, like, rights and negotiations for who gets what for streaming, who gets paid what versus, you know, if it's... during the pandemic, a lot of film companies were like, okay, we're just going to send it straight to streaming because there are no theaters to go to. Well, they're still doing that, and that hurts the actors because it hurts the whole entire film crew. If it just goes to streaming, the only people getting money really are Netflix, and then, of course, that money gets divvied out, but it's nowhere near as much as if you would release, say, Avatar or this Across the Spider-Verse in theaters, and they rack in, you know, maybe $1 billion worldwide. That's a lot more money than what Netflix would be giving out if they just released it straight to Netflix. You know, it's like those movies that are released only straight to DVD or straight to tape back in the day for Blockbuster. So, you know, like, those people weren't getting that much money, and that's why they were sitting kind of like up on shelves that you never knew really existed. They're B. But we're talking about A-lister movies that might not get seen by as many people because people don't want to pay for Netflix or Prime or HBO Max, whatever. Most people are, or they're sharing their password. That's on you, Netflix, buddy. Gotta fix that, man. So, you know, I would like to work. I would like to be working in the film industry again, and I don't see that happening anytime soon. But there are some cool movies. Like I said, Across the Spider-Verse coming out. There are some other Marvel movies coming out. Some Star Wars stuff that are in the works. And I'm excited for all of those things. I wanted to quick mention one movie, though, because this was the weirdest thing that happened to me the other day. I got an email from this person who I didn't know who it was, but the email was addressed to me, or at least I thought, and I'm not going to give too many details away, but basically the email was just thanking this individual, whom I thought was me, for being a great teacher. I happen to be a teacher. And for inspiring them to do great things. As I continued to read on, I realized, okay, it's just coincidence. This isn't about me. This is about somebody else in my family that happens to share the same initials. And that happens to be my uncle. But this person mistakenly emailed it to me, thinking they were emailing it to my uncle because we have the exact same initials. But, you know, the movie that this person had worked on is Definition Please. It's on Netflix. I highly recommend you check it out. It's funny. It's kind of dark in a way, but it's very earthy. It's very down to earth and real. And it hit me in such a way that it's just, I wanted to mention this. There's a little bit about bullying. And I got to say this, bullying is horrible. So if you are the bully, stop it, please. What are you doing? You're hurting yourself. I don't think you notice that, but you are. You are killing your soul little by little and giving it away for those simple pleasures that you're getting, which are sick and twisted, by the way. You're getting off on somebody else's pain, and I hate that. But more so, I feel for the people who are being bullied day in and day out. I got it from when I was like 7 or 8 all the way until I was 18, 19. And beyond that, I still got hateful remarks that were just purely racist and out of ignorance. I'm Hispanic. I'm proud of it. I love it. So, you know, cheers to all my Hispanic people. Whether you're from Spain or Mexico or, you know, you're Latino, Latinx, whatever, Italian, we're all kind of part of the same thing, depending on, you know, where in history you're looking at. And I don't get it. At the end of the day, almost nobody, especially in the United States, is pure blood anything. I'm a rare case. I am 100% Colombian, but you could trace my lineage all the way back and you'd probably find Native Americans who probably came from, you know, some ice barrier between Alaska and Russia. I don't know. Look at Pangaea and try to figure it out that way. And everybody from that point came from Mesopotamia. So, you know, there is nobody that is pure blood anything anymore. We're all mixed. We're all interracial. And that's great. That's fine. But recognize that. Stop trying. There's one race, people. One race. There's multiple cultures. There's hundreds of different cultures. Different languages. You know, there's over 180 countries, I think. But there's one race, and it's the human race. I just don't get it. You know, so be good. And that's why I end these podcasts all the time with be good to your neighbor, be good to your family, be good to your friends, be good to the people that you even hate. Because life's just too short. You know, I'm gonna be homeless, and I don't want to ever ask people for help much, because I just, you know, this is on me. The only help I'm asking for my listeners is continue to listen, please. You know, even if you're not paying for a subscription, if you're not paying anything or donating, that's fine. Just keep listening, because I can keep coming back to this, and I'm happy right now. I love doing this. And I can talk about so many different things. I want to keep talking about things. So, okay, that's my little sidetrack from the rest of what I wanted to talk about. And, you know, go see a movie. Go out there and support the film industry. There are a lot of good ones out. Mario Brothers, Guardians of the Galaxy 3. It's so good. So good. And it warrants every award that it could possibly be getting or be, you know, up for in the near future. And there's, you know, there's some good movies coming out. And I can't even think of right now what the movies are. But also, I started looking at what do you guys collect? What's the most popular thing that you collect that just brings you joy to get a new one? Currently, right now, in this whole bin over here, I have a lot of the Jurassic Park Hammond edition, or Hammond collection, the 30th anniversary collection, and the Amber collection. But I also collect cards of all different kinds, Pokemon, Magic the Gathering. I even have some sports cards that I've just found out are worth a crap ton. So, you know, there's a lot of cool things out there that I like to collect. I would love to hear what you guys collect. I also have, you know, diecast cars. That's a big thing for me. And they're just fun. I like to find cars and be able to look at the details. It's kind of like saying I get to own that car that I can never actually afford. Like, for instance, that GT500, or even that one. That was in Fast and Furious 7, I think. And that's the Lycan Hypersport. Awesome car. The last thing I'm going to leave you guys with, and this is a shout out to two of my friends who are authors. Please, please check these books out, because they are fantastic. And both of them have written a few books. So the first one I'm going to talk about is The Illustrated Guide to the Spider-Verse. And the artwork, I forget who did the artwork. It's Giuseppe Camuncoli, Yancy Labatt, and Marco Del Forno. Amazing artists. I love their work. Everything in here is gold. But Mark Sumerak is a good friend of mine, and he is the writer of this. He also wrote a book recently about the anatomy of Marvel superheroes and villains, and it's an incredible book. But this is one you probably want to have right now for Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse, or Across the Spider-Verse, so you can understand who all these different characters are and why they're relevant to the movie. And then just get hyped about, you know, if I saw every single Spider-Man in this book in that movie, I'm gonna lose my mind. I'm just gonna lose it. Okay, so the next, by the way, that is available on Amazon. It's available on Barnes & Noble. Go buy it. Just go to the Barnes & Noble or whatever bookstore you have and go buy this book. I did, and I freaking love it. The next one holds a special place in my heart, and I'll get to that reason why. But in a trilogy that's got two books right now, the third one's coming out eventually, but D.L. Jennings, a good friend of mine, it's actually him on the back there, he's a Air Force, United States Air Force vet, and he's been serving the country for over 14 years, I believe. So I guess he's not technically a vet yet, but he's been in the service for over 14 years. He started writing these books a little while ago, and it's the Highglade series, which I don't know. It says it somewhere. It says it on the back. It's by Indigo River. That's who published it. Amazing book. If you like everything from Lord of the Rings and Harry Potter and Game of Thrones, it's all in here. Everything is in here. Magic, monsters, dragons, love, heroic battles, good versus evil. This is it. So this is book one, Gift of the Shaper. Now, there are shapers and there are breakers, and they are two magical, mystical, eternal forces that formed this earth, or this planet, this culture, this world, you know, kind of like Middle Earth. And They're responsible for different things. Now, neither of them is really good nor bad. So in a way, it's kind of like the Avatar, where, you know, neither water, fire, earth, or wind are good or bad. It just depends on who's wielding that power. They all could be bad. Anyways, the sequel is Awaken the Three. Now, if you manage to get this book cover, this version, paperback or hardback, thank you, because that's actually my artwork. Dave and I were talking, Mr. D.L. Jennings here. We were talking, and he just pitched the idea to me when I was out in California, and I think I did like 10 or 12 different book covers for him before we landed on this one, and I absolutely love it. I also love the fact that the cover is like a matte, rubbery texture. It's very velvety and soft, but it just looks so good, and it lends very well to the artwork. I've never done a book cover, but what I wanted to say about this was, if you're an artist of any kind, you can do stuff like this. You can branch out. I'm an automotive designer and a character designer and a texture artist in 3D modeling. But I got asked to do something, step out of my comfort zone. I did it, and I love it. It's a bestseller. Definitely check it out. Oh, yeah, here it is. Book 2 of the Highglade series. Check it out on Amazon, or even message me. And I actually have some copies I'd be willing to send you. They're all autographed by Mr. Jennings, and super excited. I love, you know, giving shout outs to my friends because they're very talented. I have friends that are extremely talented in writing, in movie production, in acting, in artwork. And, you know, I would love to get them as much recognition as I possibly can. Anyways, I'm going to end it with this because I think this is hilarious. And this is only something that happens either in Florida or Detroit. And the fact that this happened right down the street from me makes it all the more merrier. But, oh, you know what? You guys can't see this yet. So I'm going to start this over and I'm going to go back to this. And here we go. And you can see right over here, the magic is happening. You got a guy on an ATV and a guy on a horse. That's what makes this thing money. Is that there is a dude on a horse trying to wrangle this steer, whose name is Lester, by the way. Look at this. None of these cars are stopping, and I find that to be hilarious, but scary, like super traumatizing. This guy wrangles the horse, a perfect lasso throw, gets the steer, and you know, you got your guy on the ATV who's trying to guide the steer away from the highway, but then the steer is like, oh, well, there's another side. I'm just going to go over there. And he tries to go in the other direction. But, you know, only in Michigan or Florida, and it's hilarious to me. But I'm glad everybody in that situation was okay. Nobody got hurt. There were no car accidents, surprisingly, but, you know, that's just crazy and wild to have seen. What? Okay, here we go. Anyways, that's it for today. Thank you guys for tuning in. I appreciate you. Stay with me on this journey because it's about to get weird and wild and I have no idea. There's dirt on my Cintiq. Anyways, I have no idea what's going to happen in the near future. All I know is I'm nervous, I'm anxious, but I'm excited because, you know, actually it's just new. You know, I'm alive. I have most of my health and I'm still suffering from some back injuries, but, I'm alive. And that's what matters, and I'm going to make the most of it. So stay tuned, and let's see what happens. Thank you for tuning in to Sketchbook Audio. I'm your host, Ryan Sketch. And remember, be good to one another. Cut the bullying out. But if you know a bully, it's so hard for me to say this, but love that bully in some way. Or just ignore them, but there's a good chance that bully went through something too. And if they haven't destroyed your life yet, they probably will eventually. If you let them. So, you know, get them help or try to be that change in their life that they need. Because typically what it is hurt people hurt people. If you're broken on the inside, you have a tendency to break other people. And it's a cycle that can be broken. It can be stopped. It just depends on, do you want to be the victim or do you want to be the person who steps in and it makes a difference. But if you know somebody who's being bullied, jump in and stop it. Try to help that person. Anyways, get out your sketchbooks, sketch, learn something new. If you're any kind of artist, try doing something you've never done before. Reach out to an author or a friend maybe you have that is writing a book. Maybe you can help them illustrate the book or do the book cover. And just learn, just try. The worst thing they can do is say no. But I'll tell you what, I actually improved as I was doing these book covers. I could see my work improving as time went on. So that's it for today. Thank you guys. And I will talk to you and see you hopefully very soon. Peace.